Chapter 4. However, concocting a poison that would be potent enough to incapacitate his brother, yet not so potent as to kill him on the spot, was something well beyond Darren's capabilities. Although he had dabbled in the past, he had never come up with anything more sinister than a potion that would give his father the runs, and even that had failed upon occasion. The stakes were far too high this time. He needed something guaranteed to work, and for such an occasion, he needed an expert. But he was not concerned. He knew exactly who to approach. In those days, there was no one more adept than the Earl of Nightshade. Indeed, with him, poisoning was not just a skill. It was an art form. Only a handful of brigands knew of his treacherous leanings. Yet even hardened men such as these spoke of the Earl in hushed and wary tones. Loose tongues had been known to suddenly turn black and swell in a man's throat. This, if the Earl even suspected his name was being bandied about. Still, some secrets, despite their dangerous nature, had a way of slipping out. The Earl was known to visit the slaughterhouse, a seedy tavern on the outskirts of the city, which Darren also frequented. It was there the prince had heard the whisperings. Dressed in a plain homespun shirt, leather leggings, and a long hooded cloak, Darren hurried along the garden path, passing the spot where he had attempted to seduce Mian. This normally would have irked him, but just then he was preoccupied with the meeting he had arranged with the Earl. All it had taken was a simple note, then a second to confirm the day and time. Nothing else had passed between them, and now, on the verge of meeting the man, he was both nervous and elated as he vaulted the garden wall. By the time he arrived at the establishment, the moon was hidden behind a bank of dense clouds, and, with the darkness so complete, the road was empty. Darren fingered the sword at his side, then adjusted the dagger he had hidden in his boot. It was always a good idea to enter the slaughterhouse well armed. But instead of entering in the usual manner, Darren flattened against the adjacent wall. He reached around and pushed open the door, then quickly drew back his arm. A dim yellow light spilled onto the ground, followed by a storm of bottles, flagons, knives, and cudgels. It was the traditional way of greeting unsuspecting travelers. Anyone who had been there before knew never to stand in the open doorway. During my many travels, I once made the mistake of stopping at the slaughterhouse. After being pelted by a score of objects, my indignation got the better of me. I marched to the center of the room, placed my arms akimbo, and announced in a loud voice, "I warn you all, I am a goody-goody." I will not elaborate on what happened next. Suffice it to say, it was the worst defeat I have ever suffered. Though he had often come with the intention of starting a fight, tonight Darren wanted no such distraction. He scanned the room. Save for one or two unfamiliar faces, the usual scum was there. The present owner, for the tavern changed hands almost nightly, was a burly man with a deep gash that ran from under his left ear, across his left cheek, over the bridge of his nose, and up the right side of his forehead. He was often referred to as Rutface, but never to his rutty face. Anyone who was interested in living addressed him only by his given name, Alf.
"Evening, Darren."
"Evening, Alf.
You'll be wanting the back room tonight."
Darren cast him a wary look. "How did you know I was expecting someone?"
"Already there,"
replied the barman with a quick nod toward a door half hidden in shadows. Darren removed the dagger in his belt. It was a throwing knife, well balanced and with no cross guard. He slid the blade up his left sleeve and palmed the hilt in such a way that it was almost invisible in his hand. He glanced about, checking to see if he had aroused suspicion. No one had looked up or glanced his way. He opened the door and entered the room, and was immediately pleased to see the Earl of Nightshade sitting at a grimy table with his back to the wall. He was a rotund man with a head shaped like a brown onion. When he smiled at the prince, his eyes all but disappeared behind his fleshy cheeks. At first glance, he seemed quite the jovial fellow, but beneath the pleasant, almost simple demeanor lurked a resourceful and devious villain.
"Welcome, Your Highness,"
said the Earl graciously, attempting to stand.
"Please don't get up,"
replied Darren courteously, joining him at the table and sitting. "I trust you are well."
"Never better, Your Highness. I thank you for asking. Though I do sometimes find myself weak."
Responding to the prince's concerned look, Nightshade patted his bulging stomach.
"Despite my efforts to lose some weight, it seems I need a wider gusset for my pants almost every day."
Darren chuckled heartily. He wanted very much to put the man at ease. Acting rude or condescending would only put him off, and Darren needed him just then, needed his knowledge, which was vast. He had learned everything from his mother, the Lady Belladonna, an enchantress from the Wayward Woods. The lady had, without denial, placed a spell on Nightshade's father and married him for his lands and income. Within a week the man was dead, and she was a wealthy woman. But along with all his holdings, he also left the lady pregnant and most irascible until the day she gave birth to a very large boy. She did not enjoy being a mother. But as the years went by, as the boy developed skills in a matter of weeks that, for her, had taken decades, she grew to tolerate him, even like him. Under her tutelage, he quickly learned to distinguish the various roots and herbs and berries that, when combined in the right proportions, could kill the healthiest person in a matter of seconds. His talent had finally surpassed even hers when he developed a mixture to which even she was not immune. "You've done me proud, my son," she had said. "You've also
done me in."
"And how are you, Your Highness?"
asked the Earl, pouring a goblet of wine and offering it to him. "Oh, fine, just fine," said Darren absently, accepting the goblet. In addition to the one he held and the one Nightshade was filling for himself, there were two others upon the table.
"My condolences, Your Highness, on the loss of your father. He was a great man, yes, a great man and a great king."
Nightshade raised his cup and smacked his lips.
"To his memory."
But Darren hesitated. It occurred to him he did not know the Earl, and in the presence of a man so practiced in the art of poisoning, he was reluctant to drink anything offered by his hand. Nightshade noticed his hesitation.
Is that not a proper toast?"
"Well, yes, but..." Darren stared at his wine and frowned.
Oh! You think I've poisoned your drink?"
"Well, yes," said Darren bluntly. Nightshade laughed heartily, his chin sinking into his thick neck, his rotund belly shaking up and down.
I quite understand your suspicion, and take no offense."
He rolled forward.
You know, my wife used to have a servant taste everything before she'd eat or drink."
"Used to? What happened?"
"We ran out of servants."
"Did you?" replied Darren, not knowing what else to say. Once again, the Earl burst out laughing.
"Just jesting, Your Highness. I've never been married. Every woman I've ever known has been scared to death of me. And when you think of it, given my preoccupation with deadly substances..."
He laughed even harder.
"Who can blame them?"
Darren tried to go along.
Here,
said the man, motioning for the prince to hand him his wine.
Give it here.
Darren obliged and watched the Earl drink both goblets.
Not bad,
said Nightshade.
So, what can I do for you, Your Highness?
Darren hesitated. Since arranging their meeting, he had spent many hours considering what he would say, what exactly he would reveal to the Earl, and that which he would not. Now, however, face to face with the man, he could remember nothing, and the whole situation seemed surreal.
I,
I am in need of your services, stated the prince with some difficulty. Nightshade smiled as he nodded.
Well, that much I assumed.
He leaned a bit closer.
Your Highness, I am a man with only one real talent, so I know why you are here. Therefore, do not be shy. Be straightforward. Tell me what you think you need.
Though it was just the two of them in the room, Darren instinctively lowered his voice. A fast-acting poison, yet not so strong it will kill my... He checked himself. My intended victim. I wish only to slow his hand.
I see,
reflected the Earl, already sorting a list of ingredients in his head.
An inhibitor, so to speak.
Yes, said Darren eagerly, jumping at the idea. That is exactly what I need. An inhibitor. Is it possible?
Is it? Of course, Your Highness, replied Nightshade confidently.
Darren's heart picked up a beat. There must be no other ill effects.
Still possible, Your Highness.
Darren could hardly believe his ears. Really?
Absolutely, Your Highness,
replied the Earl, delighting in the exchange.
You've come precisely to the right man.
Excellent, exclaimed the prince. I will admit I was worried at first. He noticed a slight change in the Earl's expression and could not tell if he had offended him.
But it was just foolishness on my part.
In fact, things are progressing far better than I had hoped.
Ah,
said Nightshade, grasping his meaning.
Yes, they are, I do believe. Now, Your Highness, if you please, we should get to the specifics.
Seeing Darren's curious expression, he continued.
to help me customize your poison.
This was something Darren had not expected.
Ah, I see. Very well, what is it you need? How tall is your victim?
My height. Realizing he had replied too quickly, Darren qualified the remark. About my height.
How much does he weigh?
Still cautious, Darren lowered his eyes and stared at the table.
I'd say about as much as me. Aha! Is he right or left-handed?
Darren frowned and looked at the Earl.
What is that to do with anything? Oh, much, Your Highness. I've things to deaden all parts of the body. It may sound like bragging, but I can deprive a man the use of a single finger.
How extraordinary, said Darren, genuinely impressed.
Well, I've had a great deal of practice.
Right, supplied the prince. After Nightshade gave him a puzzled look, Darren was more specific.
My victim. He's right-handed, and he always uses his stronger hand, except upon rare occasions when he thinks his opponent is completely outmatched. He'll switch to his left hand then. I see,
said the Earl, observing the prince carefully.
What hand do you think he'll use against you?
Darren cocked his eyebrow and stared at the man.
Against me?
A grim expression fell across his face.
Against me, he'll need his right. Very good, Your Highness,
said Nightshade, pouring himself another goblet of wine.
Now then, when will you need this?
I must have it within 2 days. Hearing himself say this, he became concerned at once.
Will that give you enough time? Oh, there's no problem, Your Highness. No problem at all.
The Earl grinned, and in a provocative tone said,
2 days, eh? Would that be before or after your father's funeral?
Darren's eyes narrowed. After. Nightshade's grin broadened into a knowing smile. His eyes disappeared, and he said,
But before the joust, I'll wager.
Darren responded by looking away. Conscious of this, the Earl snorted whimsically, then leaned his bulk against the back of his chair. The chair groaned in protest.
Tell me, have you a way to administer the poison?
The prince frowned.
No, I haven't yet come up with a plan.
And it worried him. It was one thing to acquire the poison, but getting it into Brian's system was something altogether different. His brother was naive, but he was not stupid. Anything Darren offered him would be regarded as suspicious, and rightly so. Had he not, 2 years ago, on the occasion of their naming day, presented Brian with a jewel-encrusted goblet, one with tiny holes in its rim causing anything his brother intended to drink to dribble down his chin? At that moment, Darren regretted all the pranks he had ever played on him. Well, not all of them, but certainly most of them. Seeing the concern on Darren's face, Nightshade said,
Fear not. I can help with its delivery.
How? Asked Darren, interested immediately.
Whoa, 'tis better for both of us if I kept it from you.
Nightshade saw Darren was not convinced. He leaned closer and gripped the prince's arm.
Trust me, Your Highness. I know your game and the time and place. I promise you your...
He checked himself and grinned once more.
Your victim will never know what hit him.
Apart from your lance, of course.
You're certain of this?
Of course,
replied Nightshade, looking slightly offended.
I would stake my professional reputation on it.
Forgive me, said Darren, apologetic at once. I do not mean to impugn your abilities. I was only thinking of the consequences.
Fear not, my lord. It will be foolproof.
Satisfied now, Darren's thoughts turned inward, and he pictured himself thundering down the jousting field with his lance pointed at his brother's heart.
Very well, then,
said the prince, still distracted. I'll leave it in your hands.
Good,
exclaimed the Earl. He poured more wine into his cup.
Now, let us drink to our success.
Darren returned to the present.
But we still have something else to discuss.
Nightshade drained his goblet and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
And what is that, Your Highness?
Payment for your services. The Earl chuckled and nodded appreciatively.
Well, I thank you for that, Your Highness. It tells me you value my work.
Why, yes, said Darren earnestly. Absolutely.
Let us discuss payment upon completion of the job, for afterwards you will be, shall we say, very well situated.
They shared a conspiratorial smile, and then Nightshade sobered.
Yes. One thing, though, said the Earl, reaching into his purse. You must take this tonight before you go to bed.
He handed Darren a small glass vial that contained a muddy-colored liquid.
It tastes awful, and it will make you sick for a day or so. But afterwards you'll feel better again. More important, you'll be immune to just about any poison there is. Certainly all of mine.
Darren jiggled the vial and frowned.
Why must I take this? If no one is to suspect foul play, you must be able to drink from the same cup as...
He prodded Darren with his elbow.
You know who.
Darren realized he meant the ceremonial cup of wine offered before the joust. But though he understood the need... Darren relished not the idea of making himself sick.
Will there be any pain? I'm afraid so, Your Highness. In this case, the cure is almost as deadly as the poison itself.
The prince went pale.
But think of the outcome, Your Highness, or should I say, Your Majesty.
Darren accepted the Earl's flattery with a wan smile, and, after giving the contents of the vial one last dubious look, placed it in his purse. Nightshade's tone became even more ingratiating.
Now, would you care for some wine, Your Highness? It might restore your spirits.
No, thank you, replied Darren half-heartedly. The sooner I can return to the castle, the sooner I can get this over with. He rose, shook the Earl's hand, and crossed to the door. But just as he was about to leave, he hesitated and said, "There's no chance that," he shivered, "that it could kill me, is there?"
None whatsoever,
said the Earl with conviction. But after the prince had gone, he added under his breath,
"More's the pity."
Now, had Darren been less preoccupied with arranging his brother's fate, and more astute about the man with whom he was dealing, he might have questioned why there were four wine goblets on the table instead of two. But the fact is, it never occurred to him. Therefore, he had no idea that as he left by his door, two men would enter the back room by another. "How interesting," said one. He was tall and gaunt, with light brown hair that hung to his shoulders, blue remorseless eyes, and a beak of a nose. Though he wore a tunic and hose, the garb of a nobleman, there was no crest upon his chest, for he had been stripped of it long ago by Darren's father. His name was Cunningham, previously the Duke of Cunningham, and he had no love for either of Audernaut's sons. So Darren intends to be king at Brian's expense. I like that. I like that well indeed.
I could still poison him if you want me to,
said Nightshade eagerly. No, let him rid us of Brian first, then we'll rid the world of him. The other, who had been listening intently, was as tall as Cunningham but thicker in build. He was darkly complected, with dark eyes as well. His face was covered by a neatly trimmed beard, the same dark hue as the hair on his head. His hands were large and powerful-looking, as were his arms and thighs. There was nothing delicate about him, except for the gold ring on his pinky finger. Nothing remorseful about his nature, either. His name was Mortimer, which, in the language of the ancient Bandidonians, meant lover of death. And he was Cunningham's part-time assassin and full-time henchman.
I wonder what he'd do if he knew we'd poisoned his father,
said the man in a harsh, gravelly voice. Cunningham sneered. Probably congratulate us. The henchman approached the table and poured himself some wine. But just as he was about to drink, Nightshade waved his hand and said,
Don't.
Mortimer looked at him, then at the wine.
You mean it's...
Shrugging, Nightshade confessed without remorse.
Poisoned, yes. 'Tis second nature to me now, and a weakness, I admit.